You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Hour number two, Roto Experts, with you live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and Television Network for the next 2 hours. We are the Roto Experts. This is Corey Parson. This is Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. Thank you very much for joining us inside Studio 34. Okay, gentlemen, Saturday night, Rams, Falcons, a game I think a lot of us wanted to see that we were excited about. An offensive juggernaut. And then the defending NFC champions, as you predicted, Corey Parson, just didn't die so easily.
No, they didn't die easily, and now you see a situation where they get to go to Philadelphia, so that's more or less a cakewalk to the NFC championship game for them. So
I don't want to do that yet either.
I think we can do that.
You think we can?
I think we can do that. I think we can go a little bit further than that, too. But as far as the narrative of playoff experience, we saw it in action. When you make mistakes like that on special teams, that you have not made all year, you're turning the football over like that on special teams. Pro Bowlers on special teams turning the football over, that's playoff experience.
Yeah, I mean, Farrell Cooper looked like somebody got to him. Like it was, I don't want to get into it, but and Corey's right, Pro Bowler and stuff. But was there anybody else you could put back there at some point? At some point, you got to say,
Taylor Austin probably could have been put back there.
Look, we could give everybody, and like you say, the playoff experience. Todd Gurley dropped 3 passes.
Yep.
That's huge. Those are big plays. You can't do that in a playoff game and stuff like that. But the one thing I'll say about the playoff experience, if the Eagles had Carson Wentz, were they not like the favorite in the NFC, even with 0 playoff experience from Wentz to get to the
I still think they had a loss in the first round. I still think their season was going to end this weekend.
You and Scott really said that all year.
Yeah.
That they were going to lose, that you didn't trust them in a playoff game. And listen, as great as Jared Goff was, or Sean McVay was, rather, very conservative, of course, with Jared Goff. Now, I was looking, and on my playoff team, like I had my playoff fantasy team, I had Robert Woods.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking at it. I was like, halftime, I was like, wait a minute. The only person that's caught a ball in this game is with Robert Woods. It was Robert Woods and Todd Gurley. That was it. And I was like, what is going on in this game?
What I was able to take away from that game real quick was the thing that Goff still needs to do is the deep ball. He's great. They have the Cooper Cups, the Robert Woods. And I'm not – look, I know everybody says I'm a Sammy Watkins homer, which I am. But the fourth row – 3 of the fourth rows he threw to Sammy, Sammy had to come back to him. You got to throw the ball where Sammy's on the run and he can make that catch. And that's been the one thing. And look, maybe next year he can do that. I don't think Sammy's going to be back in Los Angeles. I think Sammy's going somewhere where he can get paid and can be the number one guy.
Sammy Watkins, unbelievably enough, is 24 years old. 24 years old. Look, he's 44. But he's 24 years old.
He does look old. He got the dreads. Look, he's hot all the time.
Mm-hmm. Todd Gurley rushes for over 100 yards. Robert Woods goes over. I mean, Robert Woods was awesome.
Yeah, Robert Woods was awesome. Julio Jones was awesome. Mm-hmm. But listen, when it boils down to it, you still see that team has a little bit of growth, and mainly at the quarterback position.
Absolutely. And it took a good step. I think next year an even bigger step coming.
Next year could be different because I don't think Seattle's just going away.
I agree with that. I think the Rams ultimately take a meaningful step. When we come back, we'll talk about the other side of that game. The Atlanta Falcons, a team that may be headed right back where they were, unbelievably enough. Roto Experts rolls on right after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Many weeks ago, we left the Atlanta Falcons. We, as a whole, as a unit, we left them for dead. We crushed Steve Sarkisian. We screamed and hollered and yelled. And now all they have to do is get through the Philadelphia Eagles.
Quarterback by Nick Foles.
to go back to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
And where they will, they very well could face
the Saints.
The New Orleans Saints.
A team they can beat.
A team they can and have beaten this month or, yep. you know, in December.
They started,
a Vikings team they played very, very tough. They beat them too? No, they felt close. It was a close game. Between the Vikings, right?
There was a close game with the Vikings. The Vikings won the game. It was a close,
game.
It was a close game with the Vikings. They have some impressive victories on their resume in the second half of the season.
You brought that up on Friday.
They have some impressive victories. So they now they with this win over the Rams, they get a chance to get that easy game against the Philadelphia Eagles coming up. So I think we got to take them seriously. And the narrative around their season with Sarkisian hasn't really been that bad. He hasn't really been that bad. You, like I said, we're comparing them to what they did last year. It's not that team. They've had good wins on their resume. You saw what they did. They came out there very professional, work like, go out to the West Coast, get a W, come right back home. So good job out of them. They didn't do nothing wrong. They went and did what they were supposed to do.
I still like the Vikings to come out of the NFC.
Vikings Saints is going to be goody.
It's going to be a very good one. But the one thing the Vikings have is they have Rhodes there. And, you know, they have players, Walls, and, you know, there's guys on this team. This is a very good defense. Like I said, it doesn't get the notoriety of other defenses or, like, in fantasy, Jacksonville puts up 20 points a week.
Right.
They don't do it that way, but it's going to be tough to beat this
team. I would like to break down these three teams that are left in the NFC. I say three because I don't include the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay.
Now, you look at the three teams that are left in the NFC. I think Atlanta has the best resume. I think they have the best wins on their schedule. Obviously, the Saints have some good wins on coming last when it comes to that. The Vikings probably are the best team, but I think in these scenarios, these situations, I mean, number one, this has been the Minnesota Vikings, so something bad is going to happen. And number two, I mean, now you get to really see what Case Keenum got. Zero playoff starts, so now it's time to see what he's about.
I wonder if Sam Bradford would be active for that game.
That's interesting.
Oh, I mean, I'd have him active. I mean, I would act if Sam Bradford can, if the knee can hold up, he's the guy I have active.
I'm just wondering.
Teddy Bridgewater next year may be the quarterback for them, and that's fine. But, I mean, he hasn't played in years.
I was just wondering. Devontae Freeman, you know, barrels in for his touchdown like he yep. does. Him and Coleman combined for over 100 yards. Coleman actually had more carries than expected on Saturday evening. You had Julio Jones. He stepped up.
Put up big numbers. Mm-hmm. Matt Ryan got him the football.
Yep.
The Falcons protected the ball. They were opportunistic on defense. There was just a very professional workman-like effort where they just went out there and they beat him up and they like, I'll be out.
Yeah, Matt Ryan has a streak of, I think, five straight playoff games of a QBR of, like, over 100 and stuff. So, in the playoffs, he's been getting it done. They showed the, you want to use the word experience, whatever. They were calm. They were cool. They had those long, they knew how, they were facing the best offense in the NFL. And what did they do? They kept the ball away from them.
And this is really, Matt, what Corey keeps saying. It was a workmanlike performance. Mm-hmm. They had a job to do, and they did it. I think it's extremely impressive, Corey, with the way that they lost that Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And the way that this season really, I mean, you could say the Sarkisian stuff was overrated, but it was an up-and-down season for Atlanta.
It was an up-and-down season, but in the second half of the season, they really hit a stride. And the thing about them is whenever they had a tough matchup, they got the win. Even going down the stretch with Dallas and Seattle behind them, they got the wins over Dallas and Seattle, and then they needed to get those two wins down the stretch. They went out there and got them. So, yeah,
They did. They had, unlike most of these other teams in the playoffs, the Vikings, the Eagles, even the Saints, they had to win to just survive mm-hmm. and get here. And they did. And you can make the case that the Falcons were one of the hottest teams coming into the playoffs. Right? Yeah. Like, you know, the Rams took a loss in a nothing game. The Saints lost to the Bucks with their full squad.
Yep.
You know, and it was a back and forth affair here. And Atlanta just continued on, and now they have a very good opportunity to go back to the NFC Championship.
The only team
game.
They really didn't play well against going down that stretch is the Minnesota Vikings.
Sure.
And so, that was Falcons were home in
that game. Yeah, that was a home game for the Falcons.
So probably prefer to see the Saints.
Yeah, well, there's familiarity there. But, mm-hmm. but still, I mean, I know people are going to say that's crazy and ridiculous, but you have to do understand this is the Minnesota Vikings. Something bad is going to happen.
Much like the Eagles, where they lost their quarterback.
Something bad will happen in the next 2 weeks to the Minnesota Vikings.
Kai Forbat misses the kick.
Somebody's going to miss a kick. It's going to be a weird turnover. It's going to be something to kill Viking fans, to crush them.
I hope not.
I'm indifferent.
I mean, even if Minnesota loses to the Saints and Atlanta wins, I still got to side with the Saints in that matchup. I think the Saints are just better than Atlanta, and pretty much you put the quarterbacks there. Okay, you want to say it's a wash, whatever. Yeah. Ryan, Breeze, however you want to go there. I just think the Saints have a better defense overall, and they have the weapons. I mean, Michael Thomas versus Julio Jones. You want to use a wash there as well. It's close, but I think the Saints with that backfield over Freeman and Coleman.
If the Saints and the Falcons play in the NFC Championship game, what would be the point spread?
I think it's 3.
I think it's too preliminary to do this right now.
I would say it's pick 'em.
No, the Saints are going to be laying 3.
The Saints will be at least 3-point favorite.
Hey, look, the Falcons needed that game against the Saints. You know, they really needed that one, and I don't know. Just from what I've seen, I think the Saints are going to have a hard time in Minnesota. I know a lot of people are on the Saints,
and then they can come out of it though.
It's good. I think those are the two best teams remaining. Yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm not going out on a limb here.
Yeah,
I think that they're clearly, and Atlanta, as good as that performance was, you know, you want to say the veteran team, the team that had the experience from last year, and credit to the Falcons. I got to give them credit. When you are up 28-3 with 3 minutes to go in third quarter and you lose the Super Bowl, they got in it, they worked their way in, they got into the playoffs, they went on the road to the team with the best offense, pretty much shut them down. So hats off to them.
All right, so that's the Atlanta Falcons as they get in there, as they move on past Sean McVay and the Rams. Next game was Buffalo Bills and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Get the tables.
That's funny. The Jaguars and the Bills. A 10-3 victory for Jacksonville. A game in which Buffalo could have won. They could have won. They were good enough in the first half to win. The defense was strong enough, and the offense, you were talking about the team, like the Falcons, just holding on to the ball. Buffalo did it, man. They had these really, really long drives. Weren't giving Jacksonville a chance, but they could not convert. They could not get in the end zone, even when you had an opportunity at the one freaking yard line.
Well, that's the difference. On the road, you got to score touchdowns, not field goals. Mm-hmm. That is the difference.
Why are you passing it?
Tyrod checked off. So I don't know who's to blame here, especially with that secondary. It's going to be tough to even get that pass, you know, how tight they can play. And the way to do it was either rolling Tyrod out. You got LeSean McCoy, who looked good yesterday. You know, healthier than I even thought he could be. And the thing is, who do you blame? Is it Tyrod? Is it the lack of receivers? I think it's a combination of both. You see, Deontay Thompson was wide open on several plays. And that falls on Tyrod. He had time on that last drive. And the lack of urgency on that Charles Clay play where he stepped out of bounds. Mm-hmm. You got to get that ball off. You can't take 31 seconds.
Well, I think oddly enough, a couple of things on that. To me, you're on the 1 yard line. You hand it to McCoy 4 times. Like I thought they were going to hand it to Fournette 4 times. They didn't.
Even the quarterback keeper.
They handed it to Fournette 3 times. He didn't get in, and then ultimately Bortles threw it on a 4th down. I thought he tripped. He's going to fumble it. I thought it was a typical Bortles play. It didn't happen. And then on the Charles Clay thing, they rushed to the line earlier when it was smart, where they did not have a first down. They had an amazing spot, and they rushed to the line, handed it to McCoy, and they got past that without Marone challenging. It was like boneheaded by Marone not challenging.
I was screaming at the TV, snap the ball.
And they did, and it was awesome. And for Charles Clay, it was just like, they had no idea that it was a thing. No idea. And it cost him. And later in the game, you know, Tyrod takes this disgustingly monstrous hit. And he goes down, and that was it. And that was it for Tyrod, and Peterman wasn't going to do anything, of course. And it's amazing that Nate Peterman started a game in the NFL this year, but he did. So this game, Corey, I kind of waited for Bortles to just make that epic mistake that you know he was going to, and it didn't happen. He was so nervous in the first half, and you saw
it. Horrific.
Horrific. There was no confidence whatsoever, but they... It was Tracy Wilson that actually talked about it when she gave her reports at halftime, that
the Buffalo is doing such a good job stopping the run that they're going to come out and use play action and just get Bortles going. They have no choice.
Yeah, and then when you see what Bortles did was Bortles won the game with his legs. Like, the correct. Jacksonville Jaguars won this game because of broken plays and Blake Bortles scrambling and making first down off of broken plays. It's crazy. Jacksonville will be better next week because they don't have no expectations, so they're going to play a good game.
I agree. We're going to talk. We'll talk more about that coming up in a second and more about Bortles' use of his legs. I don't believe it was just broken plays. I think some of that was planned out. We'll talk about that when we come back. Roto Experts, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Back with you here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts. Yesterday, Blake Bortles.
Blake.
Who's never lost a playoff game, by the way, in his career. Make that clear. It's Blake Bortles. Fact.
Blake.
Yeah.
Winning percentage in the playoffs is unreal.
It's unbelievable. It's 100%. There's nobody that's had a higher playoff percentage at quarterback than Blake Bortles. Minimum one game played.
Yeah, but that's what kind of frustrated me yesterday.
Blake Bortles ran for more yards than he passed for yesterday. 88 rushing yards for Bortles, 87 passing yards for Bortles. He completed 12 out of 23 passes.
This guy right here is amazing. The way that some of the tricks that he pulls, how this guy just continues to figure out a way to just be horrific at his job, yet still find one or two little plays or something. And where he gets it done. When you look at the fantasy, it's the garbage time production. This was a garbage time version of, you know, just a lot of broken plays. Some of it could have been, schemed out and play called, but you can't be confident with this guy as your quarterback moving forward. You really can't. But it's hard to say that when they're playing in the division round.
And here's the thing why I was so frustrated is at some point you had to stop him from running. If I'm the Bills, I want Bortles to beat me with his arm. And he did not have the confidence in throwing that ball yesterday. Okay, he got the touchdown pass on the fourth down, you know, to the tight end. But you got to let this guy beat you with his arm, especially when the confidence was so shaken. And at some point, you got to make an adjustment. I mean, McDermott's known as this defensive guy. He's got to make an adjustment where you can't keep letting this guy get 9-10 yards a clip or more. I mean, I was just blown away by that. Let him beat you with his arm. That should have been the game plan.
So I think it was the game plan, Matt, right? Like, they completely bottled up Leonard Fournette. There was no, in the first half, there's no room to run. And they did a fantastic job, Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier, stopping this run and letting Bortles try to beat them with his arm, which he could not do in the first half. In the second half, ultimately, the adjustment was by Jacksonville, he's in the run. He's going to run, and they could not contain Blake Bortles.
And I think one of the reasons the Bills didn't make that adjustment is they lost Micah Hyde, who's had a fantastic year. We saw White leave with cramp, but he came back, thankfully. But still, I mean, he kept these drives going. And you just can't let that happen. When you've seen, he was so shaken with the passes. Those, even these little screen passes, he was so off.
He's not a good quarterback. He's not a good quarterback. He's not good at throwing the football. These tough spots, I think they get to be a little bit too much for him. He was able to pull it out with his ability to run the football yesterday. Really, just like I said, just a nasty, sloppy football game. Nothing really impressive about the play of these two teams. Jacksonville Jaguars, that defense, though, eventually they made the plays. Those are the plays that the Jacksonville Jaguars rely on to make the plays.
What was crazy,
and they made the plays.
That interception at the end to seal the game.
Yeah.
If that was in the end zone, they would have not ruled that a catch. I think that would have been the difference. That's what gets me. So and he probably did catch it. I don't know. You know.
I think if it's an offensive player caught the ball, it's not a catch.
Yeah, no.
I think if a wide receiver catches that ball, it's not a catch, which is ridiculous. In every,
they
got
to fix the catch thing. The catch thing is
we say it every year.
The catch thing needs to be fixed.
We say it every year.
They got to take it seriously now. I don't want to fix the catch thing and determine what a catch is and make it universal for all players, no matter whether you're on offense or defense. But yet and still, the Jacksonville Jaguars players that needed to make plays made plays. The Buffalo Bills players needed to make plays, didn't really have the opportunity to.
So I'll say this. I thought Shady had a great game.
He did. He played wonderful. 0-4 in the playoffs. Never won the playoff
game. Wow, I didn't know that. Shady, I thought, really, really played well. He had a bum ankle, and you couldn't even tell because he led them on the ground. He led them in the passing game. He was everything you've asked Shady McCoy to be all season long.
He felt it this morning. He felt it this morning, though. The drugs wore off.
He's feeling not going to be able to walk for a while. Yeah, ultimately, he did everything you could have possibly asked him to do, and the rest of the Bills just did not. The rest of the offense did not.
Look. Like I mentioned earlier, the blame has to go on Tyrod and the blame has to go on lack of offensive weapons.
Right.
But when you're seeing that last drive and Thompson's open on like every play, you can't hold on to that ball. They had 2 10-second runoffs during that last drive. I mean, I don't know. Look, I wish Tyrod Taylor went with the best. I think for him, it's best that he moves on. And for the Bills, making this next step and into the future, they've never signed on as this guy's their quarterback.
No.
No matter what the regime was, now they have, I believe, the 21st and 22nd pick in the draft. They have the Chiefs. So it's time to – they have to hit on this draft, and they have to get themselves a quarterback.
What are they going
to
do? Keep them in going to be the quarterback?
The other silver lining to the season was – Peterman showed that he's not, and that was my biggest fear.
So are you looking at Alex Smith, Case Keenum, something like that? Eli Manning?
I'm looking at trading up for a quarterback.
Okay.
I'm looking at getting these 2 picks and maybe packaging some later picks.
Yeah. Ian Rappaport actually tweeted it out earlier this morning that's enough ammo for them to go out and get themselves a quarterback.
They have to. I mean, look, after 17 years, you have to say, what's the main thing that we've been missing that's kept us out of the playoffs? And it's great to get there, one and done, on the road, tough place, Jacksonville's defense. I get it. But going forward, we have all these draft picks. How do we make this franchise a force for the future?
I think they're going to have to figure that out. I think, Corey, I think some of the names you gave out, Eli Manning, Case Keenum, Alex Smith, those are the names you're going to hear bandied about, for sure.
Yeah.
What about Kirk Cousins?
Kirk Cousins could be in the mix. I mean, what about Tyrod Taylor? But
I don't think so.
I think that relationship has run its course.
I think so too. Yeah. It's been a nice few years, but I think it's run its course.
He needs to be someplace different.
I think he's a much better fantasy player than real life.
I don't even know how good of a fantasy player he is. you know what? I read a really good quote. I don't know if Roto-World or somewhere else, but it was that like Tyrod Taylor always has like his peaks and valleys, and this year there were just a lot more valleys than peaks.
He could throw a good deep ball. I mean, he's not afraid.
But
with this offense, they didn't.
So here's the thing.
But look at the pieces you have around him.
So here's
you got Kelvin Benjamin, who's a sloth. Yeah, well, you feel what I'm saying?
And
exactly. As you get in the middle of the season, the guys with the talent, Watkins and Woods, they're gone. You got Charles Clay, got the knees of an 80-year-old man. And what's he supposed to do? Do it himself? Him and Shady? That's it.
If the Bills had Watkins, Woods, and Goodwin like they had last season, they could have easily advanced.
What's crazy to me is that, you know, you're saying, like, Tyrod Taylor throws a good deep ball. It looks very nice. Like, he stands there and he has a nice, it looks beautiful, but it's never accurate.
No, look, this is true, and as of last year, Goodwin couldn't catch a damn ball. I mean, he would beat the defense, drop it.
Right.
Woods is... I never saw this coming. The season that he put up.
Right.
I've watched him in Buffalo. He was a complimentary piece with the Bills, and maybe you could say, look, it was that system, and he really thrived in McVay's offense and what they want to do with Goff. Cooper Kupp and him fit that system perfect. But, you know, not having, like Corey says, Kelvin Benjamin, he's a good end zone target, you know, when you get into the red zone and stuff. He's not a guy that's going to beat the defense.
No, he's not. And I think that's I wonder if they regret making that trade now.
I think they do.
I bet they do also.
Sammy Watkins, they got back a second. Mm-hmm. They traded a third and a seventh for Kelvin Benjamin.
Right.
I would have rather had Watkins the whole year and not had that second round pick. And I got 2 third-round picks. I could always make moves.
Sure. Yeah, I have a feeling they regret that one now for Kelvin Benjamin. And I think we're seeing away from Cam Newton, away from that Panthers offense, what Kelvin Benjamin really is, which is a big, tall guy that can go up and get it rather than a complete receiver.
He got sunned by Jalen Ramsey yesterday on numerous occasions. That was pitiful.
That was a Mike Evans-type offensive pass interference. He just like...
pushed him out of the way and then didn't even catch the ball.
Yeah, right. Didn't catch the ball. He pushed him and didn't catch the ball. Still couldn't come up with
one yard. I cannot believe they didn't run the ball on the 1 yard line.
No. I was like, that's the game, because you knew they weren't getting in at that point. You knew it was a field goal.
Correct.
Hopefully they don't turn it over.
Correct. Get the field goal and get out of here. Is exactly what I was thinking. You know, it's frustrating because the defense played well enough to win that game for Buffalo yesterday.
That was different. The opportunity, the Jacksonville had that one opportunity.
And they converted.
Fourth down, they went. They got the touchdown. The Bills got the penalty. Didn't.
Absolutely. Corey, you said before we hit the break a little while ago, you said that now that the monkey is really off Jacksonville's back, which is all the pressure as an 8-point favorite to win this game at home against Buffalo, the pressure's gone.
It's over.
Now they can go into Pittsburgh.
Loose and free. On the road versus a team favored to be in the Super Bowl. A team that a lot of people are picking to win the Super Bowl. They have no shot. They can go in there, relax, be comfortable, and play their game. And I guarantee you they'll play Pittsburgh all the way down to the end.
It's a team they already beat this year.
Exactly. It's a team they already beat this year. What? So they're confident going in there. And now they don't have the pressure also. So that makes it better. I mean, their quarterback is a stiff. Don't get me wrong. But that defense is going to perform and play well this week, and I think Blake Bortles, Leonard Fournette will make plays, but you know ultimately it won't be enough. But they're loose and free right now, and I think they give Pittsburgh a fight.
What about Alex Smith in Jacksonville? You have that defense,
sure.
You know, it's
but it'd be, it's it would important. Be like just good enough to get them to like this point.
I think it's an upgrade over Blake Bortles. He
can they
I'm
win the Super Bowl with
term,
Alex Smith?
But I mean, everybody's saying Eli Manning. Who would you rather have next year, Eli Manning or Alex Smith?
Alex Smith.
I'd rather have Alex Smith as well. Mm-hmm. And I don't really think it's close, to be honest with you.
I'm with you.
I don't think it's close.
But then you're going to draft somebody behind Alex Smith, sure. And then Alex Smith got to train that guy to take his job. So
well,
you feel what I'm saying?
Look, as long as he's getting paid and he's
really
getting
matter.
The opportunity to win a Super Bowl, look, you want to get the money, you want to survive as long as you can in this league.
I completely agree with that. Okay, we'll take a break here. We'll come back. We have one game remaining. That was the main event on Sunday, Carolina and New Orleans. I thought it was a really, really fun game. I thought it was a really well-played game on both sides. I'm excited to talk about that. Coming up still, we're going to guess the odds here. We're going to guess the odds for next week's game, so hopefully you haven't looked at that. Get some NBA, some national championship talk, and also some DraftKings news as well. A lot more to come. We're halfway home on the Roto Experts.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
DFS to try, Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NFL and NBA free rolls each and every week. They're free to enter, so sign up today at fantasyfactor.com. All right, guys, one game left, and that is Carolina and New Orleans. I kept calling it the main event because it was. Mm-hmm. It was two teams that know each other very, very well, and it felt like that. It went down to the wire, and you thought Carolina was going to actually pull it off, I think, at one point. They did not. New Orleans moves on. Because of how well these teams know each other, I think Sean Payton didn't outsmart Carolina, but he knew what he had to do to get by Carolina.
Yeah.
Because Carolina's run defense has been a top three all season long. And even despite having arguably a top three rushing offense in Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram, Sean Payton went vintage Drew Brees, and it worked.
Oh, that was a difference.
And it worked.
That was a difference because the Saints throttled the Panthers at home in what week three or whatever.
Yep.
And they beat them twice this season. I know the narrative of beating the third time was debunked, whatever, 13-7.
That's Corey Brooks.
And all that. But it was Drew Brees that won them this game.
Definitely.
So, shout out to him. I did say on Lineup Block Live yesterday, the Ted Ginn revenge game in honor of Ted Finn Jr.
He did it.
And boom, he did do it. It was a really good game. And Cam Newton, I don't want to hear it, he gave that team every opportunity to win. He made big throws. He even made a throw to Funchess. If Funchess could have just turned around, the Panthers are moving on.
Yeah, that Funchess thing was weird, man. It was like he was stuck in quicksand, and he couldn't just move.
That pass in the first quarter where he threw that ball to Clay in the end zone, right by the side. You can't throw a better ball. And once again, we always talk about kickers, and nobody wants to deal with kickers. Graham Gano missing that field goal
25
was the difference
yards.
In that game.
Yeah, legitimately.
In that game.
Legitimately. I thought Cam Newton just had an absolutely outstanding game here in this one for New Orleans. He winds up throwing for 349 yards. Only rushed for 37 as the Saints contained him. But it was very clear what the game plans were.
Yeah.
And both quarterbacks reacted, and they both played really well.
Both quarterbacks reacted. They both played very well. Now, the thing about it is Drew Brees could have went the opposite direction. Drew Brees could have relied on running the game a little bit more, but Cam Newton couldn't. See, this is the thing, right? Jonathan Stewart is beat up. Cam Newton is the quarterback, so he does the best he can carrying this football team. Been doing it for a while now. He's the best player on this team. Bottom line is, this McCaffrey dude, he's got to start running the football
between
the tackles. He has to improve as a between-the-tackle runner. We have not seen anything from him between the tackles. If I'm not mistaken, the yards per carry, under three maybe? It's been that bad of a season for him carrying the football. He has to improve on his ability. I understand for fantasy what we do and the PPR and stuff like that, you know, that works. But as far as him as a rusher of the football, he's a running back. He's going to have to learn how to run the ball better. He's going to have to improve it with that, or else the Carolina Panthers are going to have to go out there and get a real running back.
Well,
3.7 yards a pop. Not
here's
bad.
Here's my defense with Christian McCaffrey running the ball. You can't give a running back 4 or 6 attempts every game. That's what he basically gets all season long. You need to get into a rhythm with your offensive line. You need to wear down the defense, too. You see this kid, if he's in open space, he is tough to get a handle on. And look, he might be height-wise. He's not this little guy. And maybe next year it's implemented better. He has more opportunities to run the ball. I agree with Corey. He does need to improve on it, but he does need the opportunity to get himself into a rhythm, at least get, you know, 12 carries in a game. You know, you give anybody 4 carries in a game, it's going to be tough.
You know, it's interesting. I agree with you, Corey, in that Christian McCaffrey, this 3.7 yards per carry, it's just not getting done. And that was like the one thing I had on my... The first thing I had, I should say, in my notes for this game, was that Christian McCaffrey needs to be a better running back. And you're right, Matt. You're right. There's no room.
This. Kareem Hunt in the second half had 4 carries.
It's a joke.
I'm just
saying. We crushed Andy Reid last
McCaffrey
hour.
McCaffrey gets like every game. You know, maybe he gets a 6 carry game.
Do they think he can't hold up?
He's had a 15 carry game in the 12. No, I don't think he can run the football. I don't think he can run the football in the NFL. At least not yet. At least not yet. That's what I think the problem is. That's why I think he's not getting the volume or the workload. Even, let's say they do get rid of Stewart, they're not going to be able, the way it looks right now, they're not going to be able to rely on him as a running back.
Oh, I don't think he should be carrying the ball 20 times a game. But maybe you have to scheme your offensive line, your run game, a little differently with this guy, and you bring in somebody else. We've seen in the NFL, I have no problem with teams having multiple backs. There are a few guys that can be true NFL bell cows. Forget the fantasy, that can actually take that pounding. Todd Gurley's, Bell, you know, McCoy. These are guys, Melvin Gordon type.
Zeke's not one. I mean, this McCaffrey's not one of those guys.
No, he's not. And that's, look, But he doesn't have to be for this team to be successful. He's an offensive piece that's a weapon for them.
Definitely.
And I think they do need a running game to be successful, though.
But you get another running back, too.
But that's what, but I think that's what we're saying. Yeah. That like he's definitely a piece. You saw it when he broke for the 56-yard touchdown. You saw it yesterday what he can do. And, but they need another running back.
No, they do. But my point here is tailor the run game and stuff, the schemes, to his advantages. This wasn't a guy that couldn't run between the tackles in college. That's not the case here.
Yeah, and but it's not like he played in the SEC. You feel what I'm saying?
We've seen SEC backs that failed, too.
Definitely.
I just think I can't put the overall resume on his running game in the NFL when the majority of the games, you want to have a couple of games where he got the 12 or 15, that's fine. But the majority of the time. And one of the things, we heard it early in the season, they wanted to manage his workload. It was his rookie season. What step does he take next year? Because if he does improve in that running game, we see what he can do in the passing game.
Yeah, that's how he becomes the bell cow, to improve in that running game, to get more carries, be more dependent, carrying the football out of the backfield. So that's what we have to see. He has to get better at doing that they got to bring a traditional back in and let him be like this flanker or whatever the case may be. But in order, this playoff run right here, the inability to run the football outside of Cam Newton, you see that it's a problem.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I thought Devin Funchess, who obviously played through this major shoulder injury, was in and out of the game with it. Mm-hmm. Had a great season. Great season. Yes, 4-for-79. He got stuck in quicksand in the end zone. He couldn't move there to try to make a better play on the ball at the end of the game, but he played really, really well. And listen, I know Greg Olsen was hurt for most of this year, but before the season started, a lot of people, I believe yourself and Corey included, were down on Greg Olsen, were done with Greg Olsen. He is still the man when he is healthy.
I didn't think that this... I was worried about this Carolina Panther offense and how Shula was going to scheme this new piece in. It's supposed to be so much change in this offense. That's why I kind of was off of Olsen, because I figured it was going to go to McCaffrey. Now, Olsen did get hurt. Even with Olsen getting hurt, I think if Olsen was there the whole season, I think McCaffrey probably would have still had more receptions. But when you look at Olsen in a big game, in a big moment like this, that's Cam's BFF. He's going to go to him. So I played him in all my DFS lineups. That was easy to see that coming, because if they were playing again the next week, Cam was going to rely on Olsen because that's who he's most comfortable with. But I think with the rigors of the regular season, I think you got to be careful with that.
The Panthers had a really, really good season.
They did.
That was a hell of a game yesterday. They were on the road in New Orleans, and they had a chance to win it. Mm-hmm. They really did. Another thing, too, I don't know if he was inside, outside the pocket. It was a really close call there on that intentional grounding. Mm-hmm. But if it was like a Brady or a Rogers.
Did you tweet that before?
No, I saw that on Twitter. I forget who did. I'm kind of with the person on Twitter that said, they get that call. So,
I don't know, because I go back to the Super Bowl where Brady had intentional grounding in the first quarter where he threw it up. I was like, they would never call it
to
Tom Brady.
Yeah, but this is game on the line. It was very close. And look, if I'm the Panthers, I look at what the Saints did this year, and you have McCaffrey in place.
Right.
You get that other guy.
Right.
I mean, Jonathan Stewart, for all intents and purposes, had a good
too much
year
on him
in what they asked him to do. He's over 30 years old. Yeah. Time to move on there. Mm-hmm. Get yourself another back. There's guys out there that you will be able to acquire, or you draft. The running back position is very deep. And you have that two-headed monster. You have Cam. Funchess made a step up. You do need to replace that Ted Ginn factor. Mm-hmm. And you got Olsen. So I don't see them. I see them being right back where they are.
Corey, they have to be able to run the football.
Let me ask you this. When Cam Newton came in the NFL, I saw a really good point about this on Twitter. When Cam Newton came in the NFL, he called himself, unlike any other player who's ever been in the NFL, the athlete that he is. It's a famous quote. Do you believe, and he's had a really nice career, he's only missed 3 games despite being banged up. He's a really nice career in his 7 years in the NFL. Do you believe that Carolina has underachieved Cam Newton as their quarterback? Not his fault, that they haven't put a good enough team around him, there hasn't been good enough coaching with Cam Newton. They made it to a Super Bowl. Obviously lost it.
You can't say that they've underachieved with him as a quarterback.
And they're 11-5 this year. Great year.
Yeah, I think they're on pace. I think his game is improving. I think he's lived up to expectations so far. Some of the off the field stuff. Not off the field. Some of the more personality traits of the young man. You like to see that be different. But what he does on the football field, you knew going into this game, if the Carolina Panthers were going to be playing deep into this game, it was going to be because of Cam Newton. And Cam Newton was fabulous yesterday. He just not as consistent, but when the moment is big, you can count on Cam.
He made all the throws.
I don't want to say he underachieved, because I don't think he did. Yeah. I think he
has the franchise.
Yes.
They need a running game outside of Cam.
Yeah.
They need a running game outside of him.
That's what they really
for
need.
For the offense that franchise has put out outside of Cam every year, I think Cam's, you know, Cam's carried him.
I agree. That's my problem. That Gettleman, of course, the GM, and they have not given him enough on offense to be as good as I think he could be. And that's frustrating on the Carolina Panthers.
And shout out to Ted Schuster. He's the one that had that tweet about intentional grounding if he was in the pocket or not.
All right, fair enough. All right, we're going to take a break here. When I come back, I want to talk about a note from DraftKings in regards to this game. We'll start next hour talking about the Saints and from the Saints' perspective. We'll guess the odds for next week coming up next hour as well. So stick around. More Roto Experts coming your way right after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
So before we continue on talking about Carolina and New Orleans, we'll talk about the New Orleans side of it to start off the next hour. DraftKings did something really, really interesting yesterday that I think was a long time in the making. Mm-hmm. They had their first ever single game contest when it came to the NFL. It started with Carolina and New Orleans, and you were allowed to just pick this game by itself. Six players total. You had, I believe it was four offensive and two defensive players.
You take both quarterbacks.
You take both quarterbacks. You could take both running backs. You could do whatever you wanted. You can go in this game. You have Breeze and Cam, but you had to have defensive players. And they had some defensive scoring in there as well. And they've been trying a lot of new things, DraftKings, to improve their user experience. But this is the latest one. Now, when we were all discussing DraftKings and how legal or illegal it was, we had always said that it was never going to be based on a single game because that was too much of a gambling aspect. Mm-hmm. Before they instituted this, they talked to people in New York and like, is this kosher? And like, yeah, that works for
maybe
us.
We got your bag already, yeah.
Yeah.
Paid us already. We don't care what you do now. You can write the joint on fire.
The government getting its piece is the key here. Mm-hmm. Gambling is going to be legalized.
Sure.
And once state gets it, the next state that's whatever bordering on that line is going to say, look at all the revenue they're getting. We're going to institute that as well. So this is an attempt. You have to be innovative. You have to keep coming up with it. And the fact that, you know, they're already paying, you know, that was the main thing. The government wanted theirs. It wasn't for consumer protection.
No, consumer, whatever. They don't care about you.
So for me, gambling is the wave that's coming. Once it gets legalized, it is just going to steamroll throughout the country, state by state. We'll have it in there. I don't know. Maybe the government's going to ask for more. We see it with these games, and the rake keeps going up and up and up. And at some point, people are either going to say, we're cool with this, or they're going to push back. And so I think consolidation, you know, not they needed those two DraftKings fans needed each other. And we see it on the season-long way. With Sports Hub consolidating, taking over MFLs, putting them in under their tree. And, you know, in order to survive with all these, because in MFLs, you couldn't play in New York. You couldn't play in a couple other states because they weren't going to pay that fee to the government. The company that was doing that had it added them under their umbrella. And that was the right thing for them to do. It's survival. It's about making profits. So these companies want to be profitable. The government's getting theirs. They're signing off on it. And before you know it, you're going to have gambling all around. It's coming to Jersey. It's coming everywhere.
What did you think, Corey, of the one game of the new game that DraftKings is.
I mean, like, I think Matt nailed it. Innovation is how you is key to staying relevant in this industry. Is key coming up with innovation, new gaming formats, and stuff like that. I think that's what your user base wants to see. I think that you can market and promote these different contests and stuff like that. So I think DK went about it the right way, getting this out there. Obviously, the defensive aspect adds something new to it, putting a defensive player in the game. So it's interesting. And so if that's your flavor, you want to pick your poison, you go over there and check it out.
I think it will make. I think people get really excited because you can just now play literally game by game, right?
Yeah.
You can dabble in literally every single game. And not that you're not ready when you make a full lineup, but you play multiple 1 o'clock games, you play multiple 4 o'clock games.
Yeah. Well, here's my counter.
To start off something he's huge.
Here's my counter argument.
Yeah, sure.
Somebody that was in Wall Street for over a decade.
Yep.
Unless you're investing long term. They're all gambles. You're making, you know, you can look at the chart and all this. So what is the very definition of gambling? And I think in this new era we're in, gambling is everywhere.
Fair enough. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll reset. And we'll begin with the New Orleans Saints. Hour number two is done. Hour number three comes your way.